Welcome to those of you who are joining us online. Thanks for being with us here this morning. Glad you can join in this way. Thanks for being with us here in person. It's good to worship together. Let's read our call to worship, our greeting, and our call to worship together. I'll start with the greeting, and then we'll do our call to worship together. Jesus says to you, so receive this as though he is, because he is, speaking to you. Do not be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Everything the Lord has is yours, friends. What is it? Ephesians 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Everything the Lord has is yours. Receive that this morning. We're going to spend a little bit of time here in prayer, as always. I just wanted to let you know, some of you who receive, the prayer chain emails would have seen an email this week saying that Wes Arthur was going into surgery related to some complications with his dialysis and so on. That surgery kept getting bumped and bumped and bumped so that he is presently having surgery or coming out of it, depending on how long it was going to take. And so as we pray for him, we are praying for that. You know, it's happening in the moment. So we're going to lift him up together as a body. I'm also going to pray for Dan Jansen's father, who had a collapsed lung and is in the hospital. And I'm going to give you a moment to silently offer your own prayers as well for those who are close to you. But let's pray. Lord, we're going to start with the requests, not because you don't deserve our worship and praise, but because it is in some ways so immediate. So, Lord, we bring our brother, Wes Arthur, before you now and ask that you would bring guidance to the team that is serving him at the moment, operating at the moment. I pray that you would bring peace to this whole situation, that you would heal the infection and the illness that has resulted. And I pray that as they are taking stuff out and putting new stuff in, that you would be involved in that whole process, so that by the time that the doctors and nurses hang up their gowns, Wes will be well on his way to recovery. And I pray that you would bring peace to his entire family this morning, as they have been no doubt quite anxious about him in these last number of days. And so, Lord, I ask for your many blessings on the Arthur family this morning. I think of Dan Jansen, who's been concerned about his father with his collapsed lung, and I pray that the treatments that they give his father would restore him to full health, and that you would be participating in that process, overseeing it, and increasing what the body normally does and what people can help it to do. Would you add your touch? I ask for blessings on Ron Murdoch, who has begun dialysis this week as well, and pray that as he now moves into this new stage, that you would shepherd him through it and give him everything that he needs as he goes through this. Lord, there are other people in our lives who are just heavy on our hearts and minds right now, and we offer you a moment. We take a moment to remind you of them and ask for your hand in their lives. Lord, I think of people in my life right now who need Jesus. Would you show them Jesus in a way that is disarming, endearing? Would you draw them near to you? Would you confront wounds and lies with your truth and with your healing? We think of people in our world right now, in our circles, that are reacting to fear. Would you break the power of fear? Would you show us all of the ways that we need to put our trust in you rather than putting our trust in something else? We think of leaders making difficult decisions these days and ask for wisdom for them and for your divine guidance that goes beyond what they could ever bring to the table in making those decisions. I ask that you would make your church a light during these days. A light and one, a place that has no fear involved. So that decisions that are made for we as individuals and we as a church would not be something that would look like wisdom, but is really a lack of trust in you. Would you make us people who shine instead with your presence? Lord, as we open your word, would you do what I cannot do? Would you open minds and hearts, including my own, so that the encounter that happens here this morning is between you and us, between your word and the places of need in our own lives, whether it's a need for a rebuke or a need for comfort, whether it's a need for your presence or a need for encouragement, whatever it is, Lord, we can't do this apart from you. And you told us that apart from you, apart from me, you can do nothing, you told the disciples. So Lord, apart from your involvement in this process of speaking and listening and processing, we can't do it apart from you. We need your spirit to be at work. Lord, would you bring the word alive to us? Would you show us a path forward as Unity Baptist so that we remain faithful to what you are currently doing? What you are currently saying, so that we see an alignment between the scriptures and your movement and the ways that you are speaking, and we say, this is the way, walk in it. Have your way this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I noticed a lot of you here were really enjoying discussion time, and I'm going to give you a few more minutes to greet one another. Not to greet one another so much, but to spend some time together in conversation. I'm going to give you about 7 minutes, and what I would like you to do is share, whether you're here or in person, we're going to break you up online as well into small groups. I want you to share one good thing from your week quickly, not a story, but just name it. And then one thing that you hope, it's a hope you have that God will do this year in your own life, okay? So you have to be a little bit transparent there, all right? One good thing about your week and one hope that you have for what God will do this year. We'll see you back here in about 7 minutes. Oh, no COVID. Please, please avoid talking about COVID. Pick something else to talk about, all right, as you think about one hope you have for God this year and so on. So welcome back, those of you who are online and went into breakout groups. Thanks for your discussion time here. We're going to continue that second part that's reflective, right? It's not just what was good about my week, but I'm going to invite you now to take another minute. And this is just between you and God, okay? Between you and God, if you could be as honest as you possibly could with God, what is your biggest hope, your biggest ask from God for you this year, specifically between you and Him? So again, it's not take away COVID. It's, but what is your biggest request between you and him this year? 1 minute. All right, why don't you grab your Bibles? Please turn to Psalm 24. We've been in the Psalms over the last number of weeks, and when Christina sent me an email this past week saying, what are you entitling this series? I had to really rack my brain and say something like, okay, it's going to be like Psalms of the Overcomer. And because that's both God as the overcomer, but also the person who goes God's way becomes an overcomer. And you're going to see that very much in Psalm 24 once again. We've been seeing it all the way along, though, in Psalm 20 and in Psalm 21. There's a king who is about to be under attack or is about to go into battle, and there's something ahead, and he has to put his trust in God. And as he puts his trust in God, God then makes him an overcomer. And you see the answer to that in Psalm 21. But then in Psalm 22, we see a guy who is at just about as close to death as you can possibly get. And God answers him in the moment when it was like the last possible minute, God answers him and he becomes an overcomer. And then in Psalm 23, of course, we see that no matter whether we are in an amazing valley where everything is just provided for, a pasture where everything is provided for, or whether we are in the valley in the pit of despair, essentially. That's what the valley of the shadow of death is. It's as close to death as you can possibly be on this side of eternity. God is there. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, you make me an overcomer even when everyone around me is against me. But here we get to Psalm 24 and the theme changes slightly. And in Psalm 24, we see that it is God who is the overcomer. We're going to start with these first two verses, of course, but we're going to park there for a moment. So I hope you have it in front of you. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and he established it on the rivers." Let's pause there for a moment, because this is not the way that we think of creation. We when we think of creation, we think of a globe, and we think of that globe floating in a black space with stars and all of this. That's not the way they think of their creation, and they think theologically rather than scientifically. So when it says that God established the earth on the rivers, on the seas, you have to understand what they mean by seas. They, in their minds, take the sea and the river as a symbol of chaos. It cannot be controlled. And frankly, there are monsters in it. That's the way that they understand it. And so he's talking theologically here as he says, God has established the earth on the rivers. In other words, there are things that are just chaotic in the world. But God has, in spite of sort of water going like this, have you ever been on a pier where there's like major waves crashing against it? Picture the earth in their understanding as a pier. There might be waves crashing and crashing and crashing underneath the pier, but the pier is on solid foundations. So he establishes the earth over top of chaos. In other words, God is in control. God is in control of whatever is going on in your life, but from time to time, things still creep up, right? And that's why you'll have Psalms that will say, the waters are rising up, they're back up to my neck, Lord, like all of this stuff that you subdued as you established creation, it's coming back, and I need you to be in control of it once again. And this psalm is the one that asserts that God is, first of all, the overcomer. Whatever forces of chaos are in your life, whether it's COVID or whether it's something even worse, God is first of all in control. He establishes the world on the seas. So it's a picture of God, actually, that we're not quite used to, but it's a picture of God, not just as creator, but as a warrior. That there's sort of a war that goes on between God and the forces of chaos, and God wins. And if you don't understand God as a warrior, then you don't understand a huge part of the Old Testament. Look at the end of this psalm. Look at the last few verses. Do you see them there? Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. The Lord is pictured as a warrior. And that's not just an Old Testament thing. And we really need to understand that. We are to put on the full armor of God. He's a warrior. It's his armor that we put on. Now, what is the fight? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against, well, forces of chaos, actually. Powers and principalities, evil in this dark world. God is still a warrior in the New Testament, except that now we get to share in the battle. So the fact that God is a warrior is a huge thing, and it's going to be huge for this psalm. It's key. It's absolutely crucial that we understand that God is, first of all, a conqueror. He is an overcomer. He is one who can take any mountain he chooses, right? He can take any enemy that he chooses to go and take. That's going to be absolutely crucial for this psalm. I will show you why in a moment. But if you picture once again God as establishing his world, his creation, like a pier over top of the forces of chaos, that's what you will, that will help you if you picture the pier. Now, I'm going to skip most of the middle section, and I'm going to go to the end where I just referenced there. Lift up your heads, you gates. So verse 7. So this is God, our conqueror, our overcomer, our warrior king. And where's he coming? This God who can conquer all of creation and every force of chaos, every power, every principality, every COVID, every demon, everything. God can conquer it, but where does he come? Look at verse 7. What does he come to? Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Is this a city? Gates and doors, right? This is a city. Is this his city? Let's nod and say yes. This is his city. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? He is Yahweh. He is strong and mighty. He is Yahweh, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that this King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. He can conquer anything. And yet there's something that's in his way. We're not in his way, well, potentially. There are gates and there are doors to the city that God is coming to. Picture that for a moment. God's coming to his own city. He's conquered everything else that there is. And now there is a request, or perhaps a command from God, that the things that are in the way have to get out of the way. Open the gates that the king can come in. Throw open the doors that God will actually have access to his own city. Take that city to be your own life for a moment. God is fully capable of coming in and invading any aspect of your life or the entire thing. And yet, what is his preference? It's that you and I would open gates and doors. The warrior who establishes creation over top of chaos and conquers everything that is possible to conquer still comes to the city and makes a request. Open your gates. Open your doors. What's the difference between a gate and a door? Think about your house. Some of you have acreages. I don't know if you have a fence around the whole thing or not, but picture a plot of land with a fence around the whole thing. You got a gate at the front, right? Perhaps you have multiple gates. Where are your doors? It's a little closer to home, right? There are some of us who are saying, my gate's open. Come on, God. But my door is still closed. Do you understand that image? We got our front gate open. We got our back gate open. I want more of God. I want more of God. But you will stop at a certain door that I tell you to stop at. And the King of Glory will come and request that that door be opened. He could throw it open. And yet there's a request being made here, isn't there? I'd like you to take a moment and ask God for yourself in silence. Is there a door or a gate I'm not willing to open? So it's listening time. Ask the question. Listen for the answer. I'm going to give you about 90 seconds to do that. I mentioned disappointment a moment ago, just before we started the online portion. Disappointment can become a closed gate or a closed door. God, I will only admit you if you operate according to the expectations that I have. And if you operate according to different things than what I had expected you to operate in this way, if you work in my life, if you work in my church, if you do something in the world that's not according to what I expect, I'm disappointed. I put up a barrier between me and God. Disappointment can be a barrier. Fear is a massive, massive closed door. It will not admit God. Fear, because fear is not just lack of trust in God. Fear is trust in something else. That this is going to be the controlling aspect of my life. Fear is another huge, huge way that we prevent God from entering the city, or we will. It is both. It's this, right? You may come to through my gates. I'm happy for God to play in my yard. But some of the doors in my house are closed, and we don't give access because we are afraid of what God will do if we let him in. You understand that image? So may God speak to you about the things that you are afraid of, or we are afraid of corporately, so that we acknowledge that the King of Glory actually wants to come all the way in through the gates and then through all of the doors. Most of you know this story, so I will not tell the whole story of what happened with Jane a number of months, years ago, 2019, September of 2019. We went to Jane's house to help them move, and in the process of helping them move, Jane had asked us to pray over the house. Because there had been some, I think, like witchcraft or something like that had been happening in their house prior to them moving in. And so they wanted to move into sort of a clean place without any sort of evil spiritual squatters that chose to remain, because that does happen. And so we went and we prayed over the house. And this was actually the psalm that we used, among other things, as we prayed over the house, was lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. In other words, we are declaring that this is going to be a space where God is welcome and everything that is not on God's side has to leave. This psalm can be a declaration of God's, not just God's kingship, but God's, because he is king, he therefore is the one with entrance rights into the hell. Into the house and into our house and no one else's. But the second thing that happened with that event is that Jane had to, and shared this story quite openly, that there were some doors that were still, she would not allow God into in her own personal life. And unforgiveness was a big part of that. And as she extended forgiveness, it opened the door and let God in new ways. As a result of that, some of us started getting training in what we call healing prayer, where we start listening to God to say, Lord, how is it that you want to bring, to help someone open a door that still for them is shut at the moment? Why are they not letting you in? What's the fear issue or the forgiveness issue or the wound that they have or the lie that they believe? And until some of those wounds and lies and fears and past hurts and so on are addressed, doors tend to stay closed to God. And like I mentioned a moment ago, often that has to do with fear, but there are other reasons for it. But the King of Glory wants the whole house, wants the whole city, wants everything about us. And the question is, are we giving him access at the moment? And so as we have been getting training and leading people through healing prayer, what we've been seeing is people throwing doors open and saying, Jesus gets access to every part of my home, every part of me. And when if you allow him full access, see, healing prayer only works if we allow him full access. If we put up walls of fear, that's just locking a door. But if we're willing to go in and say, I will let you into every room in the house, you'd be surprised what changes. I have watched people who came in glum and left with joy all over their face. They often look very tired too, because this is a couple hours at times. But God actually brings about healing and restoration as you let him in. But you have to go door by door sometimes. But that's here for you if you want it. We do it men with men and women with women. But we have a team. We have teams that can handle both. And I'd encourage you to check that out. If there's been something in you that has just been blocking you, it's like, God, I can't get past this right now. And as much as I'm asking you for help, I'm not seeing any change. And sometimes people don't even realize that what they're doing is this. Because we're blind to our blind spots, right? And so sometimes you just need someone else to say, well, actually, what I'm hearing from the Lord is that we should go in this direction, or have you considered this, or here's what he's showing me. And as you get some other people praying and listening on your behalf, you can often get further than you can on your own, simply because God chooses to work through other people at the same time. But healing prayer becomes one of those ways where we say, gates and doors are being thrown open because we want a King of Glory coming. I skipped the middle section, and I want to come back to it. I don't want to preach the whole thing. Verse 3. Who shall ascend the hill of Yahweh? This is speaking about the temple. Just so you know, when you hear about the mountain of the Lord, the hill of the Lord, that kind of thing, that's speaking about the temple. The temple was built on the hill in Jerusalem, right? The highest point in Jerusalem. Who shall stand in that holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts. Do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive the blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. This is the company. This is the group of people who seek the Lord, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. I'm not going to wax eloquently. I'm not that eloquent anyway, but about sort of, we've already talked about holiness as hospitality, right? We talked about that for a number of weeks. A few weeks back, that the more that we become people of clean hands, the hands, the stuff that you do, and pure hearts, the things that we think and process, the internal life, the more that outside and inside, the more that this becomes brought into alignment with who God is and his character and all that, the more that we can have of him, I mean, this is about presence here, right? I'm able to be in God's presence in such a way that I am welcomed into his presence, and I welcome him into my presence by the character of my life, right? We've already talked about that, so I'm not gonna go on about that. But it says that they are going to receive a blessing from the Lord. What's the blessing that the pure in heart get? Blessed are those who have clean hands and a pure heart, right? What's the blessing? They will see God. So what if you combine these two? This God who is a conqueror but wants to be welcomed, where there are gates and doors that have to be thrown open. And what if you combine that with the idea that, as the psalm does here, where as we grow in character, in Christ's likeness, there is an opportunity where we are going to meet God. The King of Glory comes. He comes to the city. He comes to the church. He comes to the people. If we throw open the gates, if we deal with the stuff in our own lives that has to be dealt with in order to make room for him, again, that's healing prayer. We get into that with healing prayer. There's a blessing. And the blessing isn't holiness. They will receive a blessing from the Lord. The blessing is something else. And I would suggest to you, as Sarah just quoted, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. There is a meeting that happens between ourselves and God. And we can ask for it. We can invite it. In fact, the psalm would encourage it. In fact, the psalm says that he's already coming. It's more a matter of, are we making the way straight? Are we throwing open the doors? Are we going to be a people who welcome our Lord into every part of our lives? Are we going to be a people who welcome the Lord into every part of our church? Or do we actually still have maybe some, we have gates open, but maybe we have some doors closed. We're like, you can come here, Lord, as long as you don't do what those crazy Christians do. That is doing this. Is God allowed to come here and move in whatever way he wants without any stipulations, provisos, any qualifications on our part? We have seen God moving here through prophecy. We have seen God moving here through listening prayer. We have seen God moving here through healing prayer. We have seen God moving here through physical healing. The question is, are we open to whatever way the King of Glory wants to move in the city? But are we going to throw open gate and door? Or are we not so sure we want that? Does God get to decide? A number of months ago, I think it was the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. Chantel was in with Rosalind sleeping. She's just a disaster of a sleeper, still is. But this was a number of months ago, I think back maybe August or so. Woke me up in the middle of the night, and I was praying. I sat up in bed, and I'm praying with my eyes closed. It's dark anyway. But in my mind, I sort of see this picture of Jesus walk in and sit on the bed. I didn't see anything with my eyes, but it was like seeing it in my mind, sits on bed. Yes, Lord. And he says, I want the keys. This just sort of to change the metaphor a little bit. But does God have our keys? Does God have the key to every room of your house? You can throw open those doors. Does he have the keys to our church to such a degree that we would actually give him full rights to do anything that he wanted here? Even if that included clearing out the place, as I shared wrestling with disappointment this morning, right? But could God do anything that he wants here as the King of Glory? Would we give him that right? Would we give him that ability? I gave Jesus the keys. Which has been really good, actually. You know how Jesus says that those who lose their lives will find it? I found it. It's awesome. Meet him and give him the keys. You will not regret it. Throw open those gates. Throw open those doors. He wants to do it here in this church. We've heard it. I am coming to fill unity. Empty yourselves. We've heard it. Are we going to be empty enough to give him the keys to every room? Are we going to be empty enough to throw open every door and say, you are welcome here? I will do whatever it takes to make sure you have full access to every nook and cranny of my life, every nook and cranny of our church. Those who lose their lives will find it. You have no idea what Unity Baptist will find. We have no idea what's in store for those who love him. On this side of eternity. What's the best you can hope for from God this year? We started with that question. I would like to suggest to you it is entirely possible that whether or not you will get the best you can hope for from God may have a lot to do with how many doors are open or closed. And if you would like to pray more through some of those things, we have people here who would love to do that. Let's pray. Who is this King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty? You are amazing, Lord. You are awe-inspiring. You are beyond anything we can comprehend. It is our privilege to give you the keys. It is our privilege to throw open the doors. It is our privilege to invite the King of Glory to come. Come, Lord. Come. I pray that you would continue to identify the places in each of us where we close the door, where there's a reaction because of fear, where there's a place where that's a memory I don't want to deal with. That's a wound I still have I don't want to think about. I'm more comfortable believing this than believing that. Lord, would you begin identifying those places and bringing healing and wholeness at those places? Would you make us a people who will walk alongside one another and support one another as they journey through what is perhaps at times a process of opening a door to you? Would you pour out so much love for us, on us, for each other, that we would be people who would love to help one another open a door? Would you give us such love for you that it doesn't matter to us what you do? It doesn't matter to us how many people are in the room here. It doesn't matter to us how you choose to move, as long as we meet Jesus. As long as we get Jesus. As long as we get the King of Glory. We love you, Lord. We love you. We're going to continue worshiping you because we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit fill your cities this week. Go in peace.